this particular part when we move into every year is particularly considered part of the women's meeting, in that usually, well, I would say basically every time we have picked a particular woman from the Bible, we didn't want to just look at that woman or that person, but we wanted to see Jesus in that reality. And so normally every time I've led this, but Kelly came to me and shared something some weeks, a month ago, maybe. Just heard something from the Lord, and so I just asked her if she would be willing to share that with us. And she said yes, but she did it with fear and trembling. The subject matter, the Lord on her, so I've asked, and she's operating under my covering. I've asked her if she would just share what's on her heart these next two nights. So.
Let's just pray. I just do want to say, you know, I really feel I'm just a scribe that's taken notes from his heart. And then I'm a seeker with you, seeking what's been shared. I desperately need it. And Randy said something about receiving something from a donkey. You know, I really mean that. Just please get past me. I have to every day. Just get past me. I wish it was Randy sharing right now, but please get past me and just try to hear the Spirit saying something. I'm doing the same. I'm doing the same. All we want to hear is from the Word and from Him. So, Lord, just breathe into us the deep needs of your heart. The things you need to say. The things that will minister to you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The things that will minister to you, Jesus. Lord, we don't want to learn something tonight. We don't. We just forgive us for our hardness and old ruts of just being taught things. We repent. We're so sorry for what that's done to you. What that's done to you. We just want to forge new ways of being, ministering, being yours in the way that you've always needed. Lord, we don't have the sacrifice of your Son in the ways we wish we did, but we have the sacrifice of a broken and a contrite heart. Just desires to reach your heart. So it's in the Spirit that we gather tonight, Lord. Not to hear someone, but to just seek your heart. To hear the Word of God. The Word of God. May we hear what the Spirit has to say. Because, Lord, in all humility and brokenness, I believe the Spirit has something really precious to say. Really precious to say. Help us to listen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just open to 1 Kings. And I'm really grateful that we have taken time today to already look at these scriptures, because it will help us by being familiar with the story and the context, be able to hear what the Spirit does want to say to us about the heart of the Lord and some deeper things in His heart. So what I've asked the Lord to do is just help me by the Spirit put these notes and these things in an order that can be partaken of, like broken bread, and can be taken inside of us. So there's much that I've written down, so I'm trusting Him to give this material in an order that will communicate life and be clear from His heart. And in that spirit of just beginning to understand the basic material. Let's just read chapter 1 of 1 Kings. Maybe I'll just take a moment to turn there if some of you may already be here. 1 Kings, and we're going to read all of chapter 1. Now King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he could not get warm. Wherefore his servants said unto him, Lord, let there be sought for you a king of you, my Lord, my king, a young virgin, and let her stand before you. Let her cherish you. Let her lie in your heart, my Lord, my king, that you might get warm. So they sought a fair damsel throughout all the borders of Israel, and they found Abishag, a Shunammite, and they brought her to the king. The damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. Then, really every word in this whole thing has significance, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time, and saying, why hast thou done so? And he was also a very handsome man, and his mother bore him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. And they, following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok, the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan, the prophet, and Shemaiah, and Rei, and the mighty men who belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoheleth, which is by Enrogel, and invited all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he invited not. Wherefore Nathan spoke unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David, our Lord, knoweth it not? Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son, Solomon. Go and get thee in unto King David, and say unto him, didst not thou, my Lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon, thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then does Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, into the chamber. And the king was very old. And Abishag the Shunammite was there ministering unto him. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? She said unto him, my Lord, thou didst swear by the Lord, thy God, unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly Solomon, thy son, shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my Lord, the king, thou knowest it not. And he hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath invited all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon, thy servant, hath he not invited? And thou, my Lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that you should tell them who should sit upon the throne of my Lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my Lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet, when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Nathan said, My lord, O king, hast thou said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day, and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath invited all the king's son, and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even me, the servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and the servant Solomon, hath he not invited? Is this thing done by my lord the king, that thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, who hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swore unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did obeisance before the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. And King David said, call me Zadok, the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before him. And the king also said unto them, take with you the servant of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. Blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then he shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead. And I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen. The Lord God of my lord the king say so too. And as the Lord hath been with my lord the king, even so be he with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my lord David. So that's, we'll skip the last few, but that's the basic flow of the story. Now I'm going to just read some notes, and in so doing, trust the Holy Spirit to begin to impart some seeds of maybe the angle that he wants to share with us. Before I do so, I want to say that I know there are incredibly precious things that can be seen in these very same verses that are a different view of Christ, though it be the same Jesus. And we must always be open that the Spirit will maybe share one color of the rainbow, but there are several others. That doesn't change other things he may share in the same verses. We know that, but I felt I was supposed to share that. So... So let's begin with chapter 1, verse 1 of 1 Kings. And we're really going to look at the Word of God tonight, so in the scriptures will be very helpful. Now, that's our first word. We're going to stop there. Now, King David was old and stricken. Now, at this point in time, is where we're coming to this picture. Right now, King David has been poured out a life of pouring out, of ministering to the Lord, of being a drink offering, of giving himself. He is old and stricken in years. I looked up the word stricken in the Strong's, and part of it was defined as befallen, besieged. You know, we can look at David as a man, a king. But I think to see him from the view of the Father, from the view of Jesus, from the view of God, that's going to bring us to a different point of looking at David. Now is this vessel, this king, poured out. He has given his lifeblood to give the Lord a habitation, to bring his kingdom into a place where they would know him and serve him and show him. For this is a vessel that has been given to the purposes of God's heart in his generation. And he is stricken, befallen, besieged. And they covered him with clothes, but he got no heat. All I could feel was these servants were trying to minister to him, trying to cover him, trying to give him warmth. And they were putting clothes on him. But those clothes were not giving him heat. They were not giving him heat. I'm trying not to skip ahead into another view. He could not get warmth from those things. He could not get warmth from the ministry of his servants. It didn't warm him. Okay, verse 2. Wherefore his servants said unto him, Let there be sought for my Lord a young virgin. It reminds me of the servants of Ahasuerus, or Ahasuerus, however you say that, in Esther. Those who intimately looked into his heart, his needs, they saw where he was at, and they're like, this is not working. We need that which will minister to the king, which will cover the king. Find that. We need that. And so they sought for my Lord, a young virgin, and they said these things, Let her stand before the king. Let her cherish him. Let her lie in thy bosom. Those three things really stood out to me when I was reading that. Let her stand before the king. The Holy Spirit said, not man. This one isn't a man pleaser. She doesn't care. Just like David, when he danced before the Lord and everyone was just making fun or thinking this and that. He was standing before his God. He was standing face to face, heart to heart, and just him and God. You know what I mean? It was, let her stand before the king, face to face, for him alone. Let this one that we're looking for exist for him alone. She's his. Just like David was God's. She's his. Let her stand before him. Let her cherish. We'll talk about the word cherish. The Holy Spirit landed on that word a beautiful way. But let her just think about the word cherish. Holy Spirit, what does cherish mean? Let her cherish. Let her lie in thy bosom, that the Lord may get heat. You think of John resting in the bosom of Jesus at the Last Supper and just going into his heart, not going into anything else that was going around. And that he is warmed by one who lies in his bosom, that he might get heat. Okay, Abishag, her name means my father strays. It says that they found Abishag. And I believe, and this is just some ponderings I submit to you just to consider, but that Israel, I believe her name was a prophecy for the people of God. My father strays. Remember, we're starting slow right now. If you can just keep pace with these little seeds, we're going to hit on some heavy things later. I'm trying not to go too far, too fast, so we can embrace what God has. Abishag's name, I believe, is a prophecy. It means my father strays. And she, in a certain sense, is an embodiment of that which they stray from. She exists to minister to the king. She doesn't exist for the people. She doesn't exist for the things of the kingdom that are going on all around them. She exists for him. And in just about one, you know, after Solomon, all these things are ready during her time ministering to David. The kingdom is splitting right apart based on these very same issues. But apart, and Randy's shared much and much and much about this in his newsletters. If you've kept up with them, it's incredibly, totally spelled out in those newsletters. But the split that's happening, right as David's in there with Abishag, has to do with the way people relate to the king. Yeah, and there she is. And then verse 3 says, and they sought a fair, they sought a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel and found Abishag and brought her to the king. So they sought for a fair damsel and found. And I just felt the Holy Spirit when they said that word and found. It was like, we found one. It's so amazing that we found one. Who would want to exist for him in this way? We found one. There's so much there. We found one. I can see them coming back to David and saying, David, we found one. Can you believe it? Everybody wants to be about their own purposes. Everybody wants to be somebody. Everybody wants to be important and noticed and seen and increase and be heard and be declared. Where in all of Israel is there one who would exist for him alone like David existed for God? We found one. And the heavens rejoice over one. I can see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God when Stephen was martyred, saying the same words. We found one. We found one.
Not jumping ahead too much, but if she represents the bride of Christ and what you're saying, then her job as the way the Lord brought her to David, and David represents Christ, she is attending to him. She's, if his pillow needs fluff, she's doing that. The curtains need to be open or closed because it's too cold or whatever. She's doing that. She's doing all of those simple little tasks that most Christians make Jesus do to them.
There it is.
Bring comfort to them. Make me come. Do this for me. Do this. It's the exact opposite of being what he needs. And Christianity has painted its souls so that we're the Lord's and he's the servant. And this, I think this has given us a completely different spirit.
It's a spirit.
Yeah.
It's a spirit. I'll read some of the notes on, I think he gave this yesterday morning. The search for this heart. The search began for just one heart that was not yet joined to another. Mm. We're not talking about a man right now. Listen very close. Mm-hmm. And was not seeking its own increase. Someone who sought no position in the kingdom, not even the status of being a queen or a concubine or a servant, nothing. Only covering for him. One, here's a big one. One who sought no fruit except his warmth. She didn't bear fruit. One who sought no name, simply to be invisible and exist for his rest. No name. No position, but to position herself over his heart so he didn't feel alone. No name, no fruit, no fame. Where are you ever going to find someone like this? who would see the kingdom in covering... I'll just put a little note forward. Solomon said this. Abishag is the kingdom. Abishag is the kingdom. Oh, no, it's not. The kingdom is Solomon. The kingdom Solomon. No, the kingdom's Nathan. The kingdom would be all the mighty men that are the captain of the host. No, the kingdom is what we're doing and how we're building and conquering. The kingdom is, and all these thoughts fill us. Don't they? The kingdom is the ministry. The kingdom is the books. The kingdom is the... Abishag is the kingdom? No fruit, no name, no fame, no strength. Anyway, the kingdom. Kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. No, she's just a girl, a weak, foolish, small thing. And he's just a burnt stone, an old dead king. They're perfect for each other. A no-namer and a cold, old, dead king. A burnt stone and a foreign Jerusalem, leave them alone. We got things going on. We got big things going on. And there's needs everywhere. Do you see all those needy people? 42,360 of them came with Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest. Who's going to have compassionate ministry on them? Well, it's time for burnt stones. That's stupid. That's stupid. She's the king. And that's the king? Okay, let's just go back to the verse we're at. And she cherished the king and ministered to him, but he knew her not. Those words were so breathed on by the Holy Spirit. Because, I don't know, I'm always wanting to get something from the Lord, even in the deepest, most spiritual way. But her whole focus was that he would get warmth, that he would get skin and flesh and covering and body. And it, what do I get out of it? Nothing. His satisfaction, his warmth, his pleasure, for all things were created for that anyway. But do you see the heart there? Isn't it? Well, this is a beautiful thing that was happening. When we were doing worship, I saw the beautiful thing that was happening all of David's life between him and his God. He was the Lord's Abishag, if you will. David. Yeah. He was God's Abishag. He was God's Abishag. And God gave him one. And it was beautiful what was happening, because there she is, and really there's so much good stuff we're going to talk about happening around them in the very same days that these first chapters talking about. All this stuff is going on. We'll talk about it later. But she's just standing before him, warming him, taking no thought, not receiving anything back for herself. All this is going on. And Martha's running around the kitchen just complaining. And the Jews are crying because Lazarus died. And all of these people are saying, Mary, what is Judas? You could have used the money. I'm just trying to bring you into a picture. It's similar. There's all this flurry going on in our minds. I'm skipping realms and skipping places. Going from Mary of Bethany to Abishag and David to our brain right now. There is a busy flurry in the temple of the Lord. But there is a king in the temple of the Lord. Stuffed somewhere. Freezing cold and forgotten in many ways. And there's issues. Is there issues? There's issues. And there's issues. Knowledge of good and evil. Slap Jesus on top of it. And I have a reason. Martha has purpose. And Mary and Abishag and David even, what are you doing? People are dying, things are needing, there's great important things all over, and what? Then Adonijah exalted himself, saying, I will be king, and I will prepare myself chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before me. Then Adonijah exalted himself. When that beautiful thing started really filling the room with its fragrance, when that beautiful thing really started manifesting, then Adonijah, then Judas, then the disciples even. Why? Why is that? In the presence of that which is the kingdom, which is the very heart of the Lord, the very fulfillment of his desire, that these enemies rise in us, in me. These enemies, with such incredibly important reasons. But do you see what they're doing? So let's keep reading, just looking a little more verses. Then Adonijah exalted himself. I will be king. And the next words, he prepared himself. He didn't prepare his heart for the Lord. He prepared himself with increasing himself with chariots and horsemen and 50 men. Oh my gosh. 50 men ran before him. He did not prepare his heart. Rather, he prepared his strength. He wanted to increase himself. He was a handsome man. It was all about the way he, people, and you know, really, Randy's newsletter's on this, really laid out there. It's great. It just shares the environment of Adonijah. But he's just exalting himself in the midst of one who has just lost herself in the king. It's beautiful. We've been talking about this a long time, years and years. Verse 6, and his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also was a handsome man, and his mother bore him after Absalom. Verse 7, and this is a word the Holy Spirit has stand out, and he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and Abiathar the priest, and they following Adonijah helped them. And the Spirit asked me, what was the spirit of their conferring? What kind of communications are these? Jesus asked the disciples on the road to Emmaus. What spirit did Adonijah come to Joab and Abiathar, I think it was, with? What was the spirit of that gathering? Well, David's a burnt stone. He's cold. He can't do the things that are needed in the kingdom anymore. We need to get together, bring forth the kingdom. Because this cold, old king, this burnt Jerusalem, it can't do nothing anymore to bring forth the glory of God in the earth. But this Adonijah, he's anointed. He's got 50 strong people like him. Let's get behind the winner. Do we know the image of our king? Do we really know the kingdom and the spirit of the kingdom? Because Joab was with David all of his life. He watched him weep in caves. He watched him weep when he cut the very thing off of Saul's robe. I mean, he saw this king. But when Adonijah rose, because David looked more like the crucified Christ than a conquering man. Well, that just makes good sense. That just makes good sense. I want the kingdom that's going to rule and reign and power and might and take care of our needs and do what needs to be done for God in this earth. I mean, because that is the kingdom, isn't it? Isn't that the kingdom? I mean, I'm asking you, maybe I'm all messed up here. Am I a fool to think the kingdom would be this old burnt stone that waits for flesh and bone and won't be warmed until that flesh and bone knows his heart and cherishes his heart and warms him with oneness? Or is that just a weird gospel thing? I don't know. Sounds crazy. It really does sound crazy. And it sounded crazy back then. These are questions the Holy Spirit is asking me. But these are the things. I mean, what we're talking about is just the history of the people of Israel. They had, the kingdom was divided, if you look at these verses, over that issue. Why would we align ourselves with a marred, disfigured, weak king that all he had was the essence of the crucified Christ? Can power come out of weakness? Can life come out of death? What kind of gospel is that? Life comes out of strength and chariots and 50 men and being good and handsome and anointed. And that's where life comes from. Not from a cold old king. Not from a burnt old stone. Do you see the thoughts that were going through people? You know, that's what, that's picture the Lord kept giving me in these verses. It was real at that time, really real. It affected even the closest to David. We'll look at that later. Wherefore Nathan spoke unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? David our Lord knoweth it not. Verse 12, and this is the words that stood out. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel. And here's the words, that thou mayest save your own life and the life of Solomon your son. Does anyone see anything wrong with that counsel? You know, but we see it because we know the equation. Don't seek to, I mean, it's a Christian doctrine. But if you were Bathsheba and Adonijah, one of the other sons, was trying to unroll, you know, what would you seek to save your son's life? Or would you so know David's heart that you would align yourself with the Lamb in a real way? Would I know him? Would I warm him? Would I join with him in his eternal spirit? Or would it just be a deeper life thing that has no real heart bowing, true oneness? And this is the stuff that's getting me right now, personally. This is where I'm at, just seeking him. So I'm just going to read a few more notes here. I don't even know how long we've been going. I'm totally out of it. Does anyone know if I've been going a long time?
35 minutes.
Wow. Okay. So I'm just going to start reading now a few of the things in the beginning of my notes. Abishag, the cold king. He lays there wounded and vulnerable. He lays uncovered and exposed. He lays naked and cold, and he has lain in this condition for a long time. Most in the kingdom are already joined. They have become the flesh of something other than him. Yet these cold and old bones need flesh. Flesh that is not already attached to something else. And so a search began for such a one. These bones were a king and a kingdom, the bones of one who once flourished in the earth and conquered all of his enemies round about. Yet after many, many deaths, as this king became progressively more and more overcome by the true king, his visage became marred, his body weakened, and he lay outside the camp, where even son and counselor schemed against him, all seeking their own increase. They saw not bones in whose marrow flowed pure lamb blood in essence. His cold burnt stones held no kingdom glory in their eyes. Like Haggai prophesied years later, how do you see this house, this man now? Is he not in your eyes as nothing compared to what he once was? Haggai chapter 2 and verse 3, speaking of the temple, but also speaking of David as a picture of the burnt Jerusalem. Yet the glory of this older, diminished David is greater than the glory of his former years, even as he lays there cold and alone. Zechariah also asks, For whom among you shall despise this day of small things? We could say of crucified things. We could even say of things in the image of a lamb. Who among us would despise these days of small things? As the hearts of God's people turn from the old, cold, poured out David to young, strong, handsome Adonijah, they stray from all that is the kingdom. Abishag means my father's praise. This broken David lay poured out in weakness. As he weakens and ages, a great divide happens among his people and even his core leaders. Although there are many causes to be pointed to, good and evil reasons in the realms of men, the deep shaking in this kingdom came because the king was broken, was a broken bread king, a crucified Christ king, and their lack of heart for that kind of king. The people wanted someone whole, someone strong and wise, a winner, not a loser. Give us a young David. Let's get Jesus of Nazareth back. I like the unburnt Jerusalem. So the kingdom lay divided based on one issue, this one issue. To gather to this king now did not involve conquering enemies and increase, but oneness with a diminished burnt lamb. Mm-hmm. Who warms the burnt stones? Who covers the broken down temple? Who cherishes that which appears marred and unlovely? Who stands face to face before him and beholds the poured out lamb in the state and season of his death and removal and desolation? Who beholds this David? Who beholds this Jesus? Who beholds this King? Whose heart even turns in the direction of the burnt Jerusalem? All love the glorious, flourishing kingdom and its King, but whose eyes have been opened to see the glory of this King and of his kingdom? Who would leave everything to cover these bones and to build with these burnt stones? I asked the Holy Spirit to increase my discernment of his needs, to make me more sensitive to cover his heart. I ask the Holy Spirit to increase our discernment of his needs, to be more sensitive to cover his heart. We're going to read these again, but I'm just going to say them now for the first time. The kingdom is the king being covered. When David is outside the camp, when Jesus is outside the door of the church, the kingdom is gone, no matter how much activity is going on. To draw the hearts of men away from David, to take Abishag like Adonijah wanted to, is to take the very kingdom. To take the hearts away, to take the hearts of men away from David, is to take the very kingdom. No matter how good your cause is. For the true kingdom is made of those like Abishag. For the rest are wandering from the true purpose, which is love. Adonijah wanted the heart of the people. He wanted the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Satan wants people to worship him. Mm-hmm. He wants the kingdom. Mm-hmm. We'll speak more of this later, but here's a seed. Noah created an environment to bring all flesh into a new creation. But when he landed, Ham uncovered him. We see the deed, the need, the ministry quest, the weakness of Noah, and we miss the heart of everything. Him. 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 Not the ark, not the new creation, not all the administrative needs on a new planet. In doing his work, we uncover him and we leave him. A swirl and a whirl and a big feast with no Jesus. It's an uncovered Christ. An uncovered Christ. His cold bones on Calvary were given flesh in resurrection. The problem is that we allow our flesh to cover the wrong man. How can dry bones live if they never become his flesh? They must see the dryness of all things when they are not covering the cold king. A Jerusalem full of activity with a forgotten and forsaken God crying out, "Return unto me." If Jesus were here today, outside the door of a great feast in a grand kingdom, uncovered and alone, would we notice in the midst of the festivities and Adonijah's cheering crowds? Would we bring him back to Jerusalem? Would we cover him? These are very important questions, I feel, from the Lord that I'm going to read next. The answer is not what is going on, what do I need to do, and how do I get rid of my flesh? The answer is not what is going on, what do I need to do, and how do I get rid of my flesh? The questions that get the right answers are, where is the king? What is his condition? And how am I relating to him? If you feel something is wrong, do not look at your fleshly issues. Look to see if you are functioning as his flesh. If you feel something is wrong, don't look at your fleshly issues. Look to see if you are functioning as his flesh. At the end of David's life, it mentions kindness is done to David and how those works are counted precious to the kingdom. Those works. When Joab did more stuff for David than anyone, but his heart never joined with the king. He never had the king's heart and spirit. Joab had the things, but not the king. What would you like to have? We're almost done. In the end, Joab was destroyed as an enemy of the kingdom because that which is not him is not of his kingdom. Him-dom, Jesus-dom, lamb-dom. We make it other things like ministry-dom, self-righteous-dom, but in truth, the kingdom is the king. The kingdom is the king. When the king is gone, David, the kingdom cools to the point of being sent into captivity. When the king is gone, the kingdom cools to the point of being sent into captivity. The fire of first love is gone out. The altar of the heart is cold coals. These notes were given years ago, by the way. To warm David is to keep the kingdom alive, to keep love alive within. Here it is, and we're almost done. We want to warm our own hearts or our ministries or the areas in our lives that need fixing or the areas in our lives that need fixing. But Abishag got it right. She wanted to warm David. When hearts turn towards the Lord, the fog lifts, the veil is rent, and all things become clear. We seek and cry out for clarity without ever turning a glance in the direction of the cold king. We wonder why we grieve the Holy Spirit without ever feeling the shock waves that go through the old king's heart because of the way we treat each other. Take away Abishag and you have lost the kingdom. Absalom knew it. Adonijah knew it. Solomon knew it. Satan knows it. Uncover the king. Kill love. Use pride, ambition, knowledge of good and evil, and every and any other tool will pry us away from covering him as the flesh that warms his heart. We want Christ formed in us. We want change. But are we willing to be his flesh? How can we fellowship in his sufferings if we are far away dealing with our own flesh instead of being his? We long for manifestation, but never relate to him in a matter, in a way that causes us to become the body that warms and covers him and manifests him as his body. Don't feel I should go any further tonight with these notes. Randy, did you have some?
I just don't know. I don't want to cross any lines of what you're going to share. But what you're saying right now is when God created a wife for Adam, he opened up his side and he took part of him out. Part of her, his rib, but it was him, it wasn't her. I mean, it became her. But it's him, his rib. And, you know, maybe we forgot who we are.
Mm.
You know. Not just where we come from, but like coming from another country or something, but who we come from and who we came from, because we were made as something that would be there for him. She was made like a helpmeet, but the bride is more than a help fit for him. And as I thought about the picture of Abishag and David representing Christ at the cross, you know, Jesus that put a spear in his side, and your ribs are in your side, and in his death the bride of Christ came into existence, you know. But I was thinking, and you know, you weigh this, I don't know, I'm just meditating on it myself, but in a way it was like we came out of him at the cross to be the church in the earth that was kind of separate from him. But with Abishag, she comes and lays there in his side again,
mm-hmm.
and she starts coming back into her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no longer about ministry to others, or, and in a sense, it's not even about ministry to him as much as it is about our hearts, whether male or female, toward Jesus, toward him, toward his heart, toward his, what he would desire, instead of what religion has taught us is important. Mm-hmm. And I've just had glanced down to Jesus making a statement, see if I can still find it. Jesus' word is scary good. He says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. He's talking to religious people, but God knoweth your hearts. Mm-hmm. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. And so we take that, because we're so earthly, we take that and we look at some puffed up movie star or some athlete that is really good but is just got a terrible, you know, treats his wife bad or something horrible. And we say, well, people are highly esteeming that, so that's an abomination. But I think going along with what you were saying, you know, the Word of God said that the latter temple that was built out of burnt stones is more glorious to God than Solomon's temple in all of its perfection. And that Jesus in his death and in his slaughter is of more value and more precious to the Father than just Jesus of Nazareth, what I called when I shared Sunday, a hand-to-hand combat, touching each person one at a time and healing, or, you know, whereas Jesus in his death did way more. Mm. Not just in terms of victory, but he made us one with it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, you know, the church came out of him, but never came back to him.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
And that Abishag represents that kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's exactly what you're saying, but if it's not,
it is messing up.
Tell me.
Of course
not. You know, I just think that's you know, that you know, the Spirit of God would call us back to Jesus. You know, Jesus said this: when the Holy Spirit comes, he's not going to testify of himself. He's not going to talk about himself. He's going to talk about me. He's going to glorify me. He's going to show what is mine and show it unto you because you're mine. Mm-hmm. See, we always look at that. It says he'll take that which is Jesus's and show it unto us. And we'll go, what are we going to see? The good stuff that's Jesus's that's now ours. We're Jesus's.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to show that to us.
Amen.
Glory to God. That's beautiful.
But I mean, even in that picture, we're making it something. We're still outside of Jesus and trying to get his stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to get your stuff. I want you. You know, I do want you as long as I can get your stuff from you. Mm-hmm. But you know, and so we can't read the scriptures correctly.
That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know. We see ourselves in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And James warned about that, looking into the mirror of the word.
Yeah.
As long as you see yourself, there's a problem. 1 Corinthians, what is it? I can't even think of it right now. 2 Corinthians 3:18.
17:18.
We're supposed to look in here and see his face.
His face.
Not see our face.
Amen. Amen.
And,
glory to God.
And be changed into that same image.
Mm.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but I see Abishag melting into his side where
does.
We came out of.
Hallelujah.
And she's just, you know, she's just got one thought, you know. What do you need, you know? I need a glass of water. Well, Jesus said, if you one of these
that's
poor
right.
ones,
right.
well, what about him? You know, we never bring him a glass of water, but she goes, okay, gets him a glass of water. You know, it's just a heart thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, if you think of Abishag, that's, you know, she really never had a ministry other than to the king.
And nothing but him.
And you know, the scriptures there, it says that she cherished him. Well, that's a little more than king stuff. That's loving Jesus for who he is.
That's right.
You know, and cherishing that spirit. And so what I think Jesus is saying here, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God, is the fact that we esteem everybody, Christian or not Christian. We esteem power, and we esteem position, and we esteem riches, and we esteem all of those things. And he
we seek them.
Was God and came down and said, this is more what I'm like, became a servant, and then became crucified for us, and then looked the worst possible because everyone blamed him and said, he's the cause of all of our problems. Let's kill him and he'll be gone. And even his disciples didn't look up there at the cross and go, now that's worthy of glory.
Yeah, that's what they didn't know.
You know.
No way.
They ran and hid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we, and so with David, you know, I mean, the description of Abishag is pretty good. If you're a guy, that's a pretty good looking girl. What the heck is she going to see? And, you know, I read a thing that said David was 70 years old. I'm going, I know the feeling. <You know>? Somebody says, you're pushing 70. I'm beating the heck out of it. But I know diminished capacities.
Right.
And I know that in my youth I felt strong and could do anything, you know. And so someone goes, okay, well, you know, we want to see, you know, I mean, my muscle wouldn't compare to anything. Some of you ladies. Kelly's got a bigger muscle.
He's
So I'm taking that and I'm trying to see David in that, and I'm trying to see probably he had a rougher life. He was a warrior at his height, and he was strong, and he led men, and he had vision and strategy, but more than anything, he really heard from God and, you know, could initiate all of that. And maybe Abishag, just kind of being up there close to his heart, maybe she heard his heart. Because that heart still loved Jesus. David was the only one in the Bible, God said, he's a man after my heart.
Mm-hmm.
The only one in the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Lord. So maybe she's up there. Am I taking everything away?
No, not at all. And if it was, it's the Lord. We want to hear from you.
But I mean, that's still the same heart. Amen?
That's right. Mm.
Still the same heart. And what a precious heart that he had. That I want to get close to, if you understand what I mean. I want a heart after God.
Hey, amen.
That I respect and hold in highest esteem. I can't even put it into words.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if somebody says, well, male or female, we're all part of the bride of Christ, and we can get close to Jesus, we can get closer than his mighty men, who fought for David because they loved him, but they didn't have his heart. And they continually did things opposite of his heart. She's not even having to do things after his heart. She's just laying there on there with him. You know, I just want to hear the beating. You know, I just want to be. You know that. And so that picture that I kept seeing of her just. I mean, it's warming him, but what's it doing to her? You know, what's it doing? How deeply? I mean, what if, you know, here's another thing I notice. I know I'm crazy, so y'all don't have to listen to me. I love the words of Abishag. She never spoke a word. And here's what I mean by that. It's not about talking. She is just there. I mean, and remember, David was still king during that portion.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still coming to him for counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And she's hearing, here's where the words are coming from. You know, it's almost like she doesn't even have her own mind. Here's my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you see her laying up there going, yeah, I agree with that. You know, well, isn't that what we all need to do with
Jesus?
Yes. Not my mind. God help us. You know. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not my thoughts, not my understanding. I mean, it almost sounds also like she didn't have much of a life except David.
That's right. She wanted
it. I know, she wanted it. She loved her life, probably, you know. I don't know. I shouldn't even be talking.
Oh, no, you should. We wanted
you. Lord have mercy, what this is opening up.
It's wonderful.
If we have ears to hear. I mean, the whole thing is let the Spirit of God Because the Spirit of God wants to bring...
He does.
You know, it's like, okay, so the counselor said, let's find somebody for David.
Just one.
Well, that sounds to me a little bit like the Holy Spirit. You know, he's the counselor. We go, well, he's the comforter, which also means counselor. So I'm going to go to the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to get counsel. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm having problems at work. And he's going to go to David.
That's right.
Go lay on him. Go listen to his heartbeat. And get your mind off of just the, and just, why don't you just stay there forever?
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit, I mean, that's all we need right now, because he'll get us to Jesus.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes we're going, I got to get to Jesus, and we're scraping and crawling and going, I got to get to Jesus. And the Holy Spirit walks by, and we go, hey, come here. Holy Spirit, I need to get to Jesus. Would you start opening my eyes and my heart to his heart? That's what I was here for. I was sitting here. Jesus told you that he'd say that. Jesus told you, that's why I'm here. The Father sent me. Here I am in Jesus' name to get you there. So we all of the tension in our body starts relaxing, because it's not about this, trying to do it ourselves, trying to get there. But, you know, isn't this funny? Our last two sessions we had, we started with Jesus saying, You're my mother, my family, my brothers. Mm-hmm. Then we heard the Father. So that was Jesus talking and giving us peace in our relationship. Yeah. And then we heard from the Father that says, as long as you're after the Son, my Son, I will always honor my Son. I am faithful to my Son forever and ever. So just say, I want the Son. Start with that, and you've got my faithfulness. And now we're with the Holy Spirit.
About
the Holy Spirit getting us to Jesus. It's come full circle.
Thank you.
So, I mean, this is all one. This is all of one.